There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Elephant Podcast.
What is happening, all you woods people? Guess what?
What?
Tyler's here. But the mountain men themselves, Michael and Greg, have decided to join up.
Mountain Man Mike.
What's up?
On the Elephant Podcast today. These boys have been scaling the heights, living in the valleys, the highs and lows, as they say. You've seen it all.
Seen it all.
There were definitely some highs and lows.
Were they?
For sure.
Mostly lows. But
mostly lows.
Mountain Mike highs. And Gully Greg, man.
It's legal in New Mexico, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
they've been through the highs and lows, man, in the mountains and in the gullies.
Speaking of, they just made guns illegal in New Mexico, so watch out for that. But
the whole state.
Yeah.
Really?
Weird. Well, we hunt with bows. So
that's right. We're bow hunters. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. We need an amendment that protects bows, I think. They're going to come after those next.
I don't think they're going to let
They'll go to
happen.
Crossbows first. Then we'll be good. Then we can start fighting.
Oh, man. So these guys have been out deer hunting in New Mexico. We're going to get the full scoop on that. You can look forward to a video featuring – who's the hunter on this trip, guys?
That'd be me.
Greg. Greg. Was the hunter. I don't
Old
know.
Greg.
I think that we have nicknames for you, but then I think the general Element audience calls you Old Greg.
I mean, it's been that way since that video came out.
I imagine. Was that about 2006 or something like
something
that?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably a freshman in high school.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around that, yep.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dude, were you alive in 2006?
Barely.
He's not
You're
a
born
freshman
in 2000.
Yet.
2000.
That's right. Okay.
Almost made it to the 1900s.
Young legs.
Not quite.
Almost.
Almost made it to it.
Dang, dude. Bro can't even remember the 20th century. Yep.
I can't either.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes,
it
man.
Is,
remembering
dude.
Back in the good old times, you know.
I can barely remember my element. Remember, this is my element.
By the way, this is the Element Podcast brought to you by First Light Gear. Greg has on the Trace pant right now. He doesn't have his zips open, which means we are experiencing a cool front around here. Which you got to watch Greg. He'll have one of all the zips.
I have all open.
I got to tell the story. Greg shot an axis deer on our channel. with his zipper down. And I don't mean the Trace zipper.
Hey, it was hot. You had to open up all the zippers.
That was hilarious, too, because we didn't really fit. There is the GoPro angle.
The GoPro angle is legit just crotch face.
Well, that is it. I mean, the GoPro angle does make the video, but just not once he stands up.
Yeah.
But you can imagine Greg standing up directly facing the GoPro.
The GoPro's facing, it's head high when he's sitting down. So he goes to shoot and stands up and apparently had peed and forgot to close the door.
We were going to leave it in there, and Greg is just too bashful he couldn't handle it.
Greg doesn't say much, but he said something about that. He said multiple times.
Yeah. I had to speak up on that one.
Yeah. Greg's the only person that has been embarrassed on the Element YouTube channel yet.
What other interesting things did you catch Greg doing while videoing him this week?
Well, drinking 24 Black Rifles and probably 10 Dunkins.
Yeah.
That sounds like a low number to me.
That's the number, exactly.
Is it?
Yeah, 2 12-packs of Black Rifles.
Golly,
did y'all stack them up? A pyramid?
We ran out of room.
We had so much trash in the truck at one point where it was like me and Greg, which is crazy to say, we're like, this is too much. Like, we have got to find a trash can right now.
Whoa. Greg would never say that.
I swear that's what happened.
They were making Mike's Peak in the background.
Dude, here's the problem. When Mike's Peak and Greg's Gully gets together, there's no middle ground.
No.
There's no room in there.
No.
It's just flat.
That's it. We're getting too loud for Eric. He can't even edit with us. Eric's editing the most recent episode of Rut Fresh Radio. If y'all didn't know, we were doing Rut Fresh again this year on the Wired to Hunt feed for Mark Kenyon.
In fact, they're just pinning over Meat Eater Company to us.
That's right.
We're going to have the whole company.
Just responsibilities, not income.
No, okay. Yeah, okay. I thought we were making some money from that thing.
Yeah, Mark was too busy, so we had to do it for him this year.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
Was he flying?
I don't ask him. I just assume. This is how I try to make my marriage work, and it doesn't work very often. But
just all off assumptions.
I just try to have this thing where you just assume the other person is doing their absolute best, and that's the best way to be happy, right? It's the best way to navigate that.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming that is the case here.
Man, I'm not.
If y'all want to, there is a filter down in the description here. You can click. That will filter out all the laughs and just give you the core details of this podcast. So if you scroll down and click on, it's probably called like
1.5X.
The Element's Biggest Buck Ever or something like that. Click on that. And it actually won't carry you to that at all. But you can go watch that in the description.
That's a good plug, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So
it's weird that whales get barnacles on them, dude.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's gotta hurt.
Creeps me out.
It's just I had scabies in college. Had scabies?
No. I thought sheep got that.
No, that's scrapie.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs>
Scabies is skin mites. And it is
mice?
No
mites.
Mite. Mite. Mice. Mice.
Gotcha. Mice. I thought you said mice for sure.
It is no fun. Like, I got it from either the movie theater or the gym.
Sure it wasn't the pet squirrel?
No, that didn't overlap.
Oh, okay.
And then I gave it to my then-girlfriend and then gave it to one of my roommates.
PDA,
gave
bro.
It to his girlfriend. And we all just had scabies. So what it looks like on like a finer detail is there'll be little pinholes in your skin that you can see that are probably like a 32nd of an inch apart. And they will infest your skin. And what's going on is there's a tiny little mite just drilling into you. And you'll have hundreds of them in your body.
Dude,
and it's
get
like
me.
too much information.
Get the bleach out, man. I'm doing something.
No, that's actually the thing is that you use lice
hairspray.
Shampoo, and you just take a big old bath in the lice shampoo, and after 4 or 5 days, you can kill it. But, like, this was, like, emerging internet era, right? Like, Michael wasn't even around for, like, what to do here. So it wasn't like a, hey, why is my skin itching on the internet? You know, like, this wasn't how that happened. So, like, for 4 or 5 days, I was like, what in the world's wrong? I thought I had a yeast infection or I was, like, asking people, like, hey, why am I itching so bad? Like, I can't even work because I'm itching so bad. And ends up I went to the doctor finally And they were like, yeah, it's KB's. I was like, what is that? You know? So, you know, how did I get on that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
The barnacles.
Oh, the barnacles. Yeah, I would imagine that's what it feels like for the whale, is a little thing drilling into them.
You think they drill in?
Yeah, that's why those whales breach, is they're trying to knock those barnacles off.
That's why?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So, did they just fall asleep and end up on the bottom and a barnacle crawls on them?
No, barnacles are plankton. Essentially, in the way that they reproduce, and they float around until they find something to attach to. That's why they're on turtle shells and whales and stuff, things that are long-lived. You don't see them on fish because fish, you know, I don't know about every fish, but like a mahi, a three-year-old mahi is a big one, mm-hmm. old one, kind of like a turkey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man.
Let's not talk about that.
You don't want to talk about turkeys getting barnacles?
Just turkeys.
Just turkeys. Yeah.
Let's talk about deer.
All right.
Let's do it.
So y'all just went on a deer hunt. Well, did you call this a trophy hunt or an aspirational hunt?
Not a trophy hunt.
Not a trophy hunt. Okay.
But
let
we
the
thought
cat
it,
out of the bag.
All we right. thought it. We thought it might be.
There's some rumors of large deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is New Mexico a state that you think of when you say I want to go deer hunt there?
Not really.
Not really?
Definitely not on my list.
Not now?
Well, it is now.
Oh!
But before, I would have not been like, I want to go to New Mexico and hunt deer.
Yeah. What did you want to do in New Mexico before this?
Hunt elk.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
about nothing I want to do anymore. I don't know. I mean,
besides, you want to go eat green chilies in New Mexico?
No
go, sir. Those things would kill me.
Go to Applebee's and get a green chili burger.
Marco got
mean?
A medium green chili one time from this really nice abuelita, and he couldn't say no, but he absolutely got burned down, and it was so funny. Dude, laughing real
I thought off. I was going to be just dead on the side of that road.
Yeah. Did y'all get a green chili burger?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Never did, huh?
Turkey sandwiches.
I got one in Colorado when I came out after shooting that buck right there.
Pretty good.
Oh, dude. Give me the greasiest whenever I get out of the mountains.
Makes you feel right. Right. That's so, you boys set out on a trek. Tell us, just take off. Tell us what was going on, what was going through your head. Greg, in fact, you went out and scouted a little bit.
Went out, scouted a little bit in the summer, and I mean, I found deer, but I found one buck, and I was a little worried about where I went, that it wasn't going to be the spot when I went there. But we made the trek out there, and as we're headed up there, I mean, we're traveling in an old truck. Mm-hmm. This is old blue.
How old is it?
It's a 2002 Ford F-150.
Dude, that thing is 2 years
is
older
it a Triton?
Or younger than me.
Triton V8?
Triton V8.
Yep.
And we just loaded up, got supplies.
Is it a true V8 or all eight cylinders hitting?
Oh, yeah. All,
good.
It's firing. Old Blue's.
It's only a three-wheeler, though. I heard it. Yeah. I heard it drive up this morning.
All right. So we loaded up. We got supplies. We're headed out. I mean, we're 20 miles back, like, into some remote stuff.
20 miles? Golly.
And all of a sudden, I hear something just snap and break from the back of the truck.
We hit this tiny little bump, and it is just like... And it's like, oh, we're screwed.
Come here, I need this dude to snort weed for me next year.
I'm telling you.
Wait. So, adversity struck. I don't know anything about this.
Right off the bat.
Adversity's truck.
Oh.
No. There you go.
Get out of here. That was bad.
Oh, so,
we're like 20 miles back and just hear an explosion from the back, just stuff breaking, and I look at Michael, I'm like, what was that?
I bet Michael was really hey,
it was yeah, for sure. What it was a load of Black Rifle coffee cans.
They just had too much elevation release.
Yeah, they just blew up.
Yeah.
But we get out of the truck and start listening, and there's a bunch of noise coming from the back right wheel. And we're like, what is going on? All I can think is, like, the brake caliper, like, melted and broke, or the wheel bearing went out. And so I get Michael in the truck. He drives it a little bit. I'm listening, and I'm like, it's got to be the wheel bearing. And so we decide to limp back into town, going about 5 to 10 miles an hour for 20 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
We live all the way back into town. We have no service. Luckily... there's a auto mechanic who's open in town. And we roll in there, and he's like, oh, I ain't got a wheel bearing. That's in the next town over. He's like,
he said it would probably take 2 to 3 days.
Like, do you have a truck that'll drive at least 20 miles an hour so we can go there a little faster?
He's like, if you got a wheel bearing out, you ain't making it to that town. And so we pulled up in there, and he's like, it might be the parking brake. And so he takes the wheel off and takes the brake thing. He's like, yep, parking brake. He's like, you don't need that.
I have never seen Greg. Greg shot deer on the Element YouTube. I have never seen Greg so excited. He was like, yes, yes. Like,
so you just had to take like 2 screws out and just disengage it.
He just took all the broken, like the parking brake just exploded inside. Hey, it was in like a
so
million
were you
pieces.
Running with it on, or why did it do that?
No, it's just old. When I
like, old Greg.
When I took it to go get inspected, the guy was like, you're gonna need a new parking brake. And I was like, whatever. And then this happened.
Sure enough, he needs a new parking brake.
So bad. Now I definitely need a new parking brake.
I got it.
But so we were excited to hear that news. But
she burned how much time doing that? 3 hours?
Not much. I thought it was gonna be like, it's gonna be 2 or 3 days before mm-hmm. we even get to hunt. And it just took a couple hours, like probably took, I don't know, 2-3 hours to limp back into town, and then we were off and running after that.
Greg buttered him up with a little guitar talk. And
yeah, we started talking about music he used to play. And
didn't even have to pay.
He was like, hey, we're
man.
Good. I was like,
God,
we got out of there good.
Musicians stick together, baby.
Yep.
We know how poor we are.
So
Mark,
we,
I doubt you're listening, but thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Yep, nice guy. But we
not
were
Mark
off.
Kenyon.
I was
definitely
I was thinking
not
so
Mark Kenyon. Definitely
no,
not.
He's fishing. He don't have service.
But we were off and running after that. In a, but he didn't get all the pieces out of the parking brake.
Yeah.
So there's still like stuff like rattling around in there.
Yeah. He did it for free, but
yeah,
kind of didn't really finish
so
the
you
job.
Take
what
the,
you paid for.
So I still got to go in there and do that.
You take the drum apart and just get to that stuff.
Yeah, you just take
much.
The drum off and yeah. all the parking brake pieces were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's supposed to be one piece. But
sound
like
Santa's sleigh coming up this morning driveway.
That's funny.
But it's really good. You drive around and all the deer, they pick their heads up.
Oh, yeah.
Look
makes
at you.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like
they're wondering if they're being summoned to take all the presents to everybody in the entire world.
Santa, is that you? Golly.
So we drive way back in and we see does like immediately, like 100 yards from our camp.
Dude, what is the buck to doe ratio on mule deer? It's got to be like 10,000 does to one buck. I feel like you just see the does like, and I know.
I think it depends on the spot.
I'm kind of joking like, about it, but.
We were like kind of lower elevation and we were seeing nothing but does. I saw like one spike that was hanging around a bunch of does. And, but we just couldn't find any bucks where we were. And all I could think was like, man, maybe we need to go to like high elevation, cooler temperatures. Like maybe the bucks are just hanging out up there. And so we after driving around a lot, we just packed up camp and looked for something high up. And that's where we started going up the western.
Dude, it got western real quick. This is like a road that is the size of Old Blue. Like, you look off one end, and it's just like 800 feet to the bottom. And, I mean,
it's just like the rockiest, like roughest road, like
no parking brake.
Greg's a real chill guy, but he was sitting there just white knuckling that road, just like I'm not going off. Well,
there's no way to like turn around, mm-hmm. so it's like you're going all the way or you're backing up for miles.
Those weird me out because sooner or later somebody meets another person on those top roads.
Yeah,
what do you do?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't like them.
My wife, one time we were in Colorado doing that same thing. And we were on the outside lane, and she freaked out. She said my tire was off the off the cliff.
So you were just
I mean, I was close, but it wasn't. There's no way it was off the cliff, but it was close. And she freaked out. She was like, "Tire,
I think they all have the same voice whenever that goes
on. Oh, yeah, dude. It's this thing that raises your blood pressure by 400 beats per second. So
I watched a reel the other day where this dude was in the car with his girlfriend there in Florida, and I think it's during the hurricane. Y'all might have seen it. It's funny because they're, like, in traffic, stopped at a red light, and, like, power poles are getting blown down. And the dude's filming, and you just hear this girl go, "Brandon!" He's like, "I can't do anything about it, Ashley. We're stuck in traffic." It's like, I feel you, bro. I feel you, because what are we going to do, right?
Yeah. Doing everything I can.
Michael was like, "Greg!" Yeah.
No, I was just rubbernecking straight up looking for mule deer the entire time because I did not want to look off to the left.
Just take your mind off of it.
Yeah.
So what'd you find at the top of the mountain?
So we're like, I don't know, 20 miles up this dirt road, and it's getting worse as the higher you go. And we get about less than a mile from the top, and Michael goes, "Mule deer." And we look up about 60 yards, and there's the biggest framed buck I've ever seen, ever.
I'm telling you, we lost it in that moment. We were so happy.
We were pumped. This is the first buck we'd seen on the whole trip, and it was the day before the season. So we just kind of get some footage and just, like, keep on driving. Hopefully he, like, kind of sticks around. And we get up to the top, and there's just, like, the most perfect campsite ever. And so we, like, all right, we're camping here, I guess. And so we camped there and wanted to spend the first few days of the season up there.
Did y'all have plenty of water? There wasn't water up there, right?
No. Mm-hmm. There was some, like, seeps. Like, you could see water coming out of the mountain, but
not for y'all to drink.
No. We got a big old, like, 6 gallon blue jug. Mm-hmm. That's what we drink
out of. Those are nice.
Yeah.
Way better than pepper water.
Oh, I bet. Green chili water.
Green chili water we had one year.
Never had it.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, how long did y'all stay there?
We stayed there too long.
Yeah.
But, but we saw a giant buck, and then we had this local came up there, and he couldn't believe we were up there deer hunting. Yeah. He's like, "I've never seen an out-of-stater up here deer hunting because, like, the road is, like, ridiculous."
Yeah.
But he shows a video of 7 mule deer bucks that were 100 yards from where we camped, like, the day before.
Wow.
And so we were pumped about this spot.
I mean, we walked out of that. Like, it was – he drove up in the morning, and we walked, like, up a – I'm going to call it a hill, but it did not feel like a hill. Mm-hmm. We walked up this hill, and we, like – Greg turned around, and we were like – this is the, like, we're in the spot. Like, we had so much confidence going into that morning, which I'm starting to learn is an issue for me and Greg. If we have confidence, it's not going
to
be good.
I used to say confidence kills. We don't need to say that anymore.
No, not, okay. Well, definitely not for me and Greg. Okay. We need to be the opposite way.
I try to be that way. I try to rein Michael in.
Yeah, that's
little,
good.
Dude, I get
it gets a little pumped.
Good.
But, man, we thought we were in the spot. We're like, "Oh, man, if we just give it a couple of days, we're going to see these bucks." And we kept going up on top of this mountain. It's probably, he called it a hill, but probably 400 feet of elevation we gained to, like, you know, go up to the top.
Greg called it the morning ritual.
I would be tired for sure on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to take 2 or 3 breaks going up it. We're above 9,000 feet, so it's a
man.
It winds you pretty bad.
Yeah, I remember when we were turkey hunting this spring and we were going up that I don't know how to describe this without not being too specific, but that place that was further north, you remember going up mm-hmm. that hill and yep. we were like, "Oh, it's just right over that," and then we're like it's weird how it sneaks up on you like
yep.
that.
Yeah. Yep. It's it was not easy, but mm-hmm. we kept going up there. There's a bunch of, like, north facing slopes that we were trying to target deer on, and we went up there probably 3 or 4 mornings in a row, and all we saw up there was, like, a mule deer doe and a fawn
at like
3 miles down this drainage.
3 miles. Greg was like, "I see a deer," and then we run get the spotter, and it's like,
it took me 15
still
minutes.
Still couldn't tell what it was with the spotter. It's like, we are in trouble.
Took me 15 minutes to get the spotter on it because of how far away it was. But
so was the problem lack of deer or not the right, like, not checking the right stuff? Or
well, on the map, this stuff looks, it looks good. Like, it's an old burn, and looks like you'll be able to see deer, but the undergrowth is so thick. Like, I mean, it's over your head. And so I'm like, if there's deer in this, I mean, we're not even going to be able to see them.
Yeah. They have everything they need in that undergrowth. So it's like they're only going to be moving at very specific times. And if you don't catch them out there, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, especially this early season, like, they're not moving much at all. And
so when you say specific times, is it predictable?
It wasn't predictable for us.
No.
We only saw that one doe.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was just a mental beat down up there.
And also, the elk are distracting.
Like, yeah, like, they are. You see an elk, and it's like
– it's so easy to pick out elk, and, like, you're looking for something, like, way smaller than elk. Mm-hmm. And
you're looking for a small gray thing, and these big blonde things are just stealing your attention.
They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're bugling, and it's, like, it's really hard not to just – watch the elk show. When
did y'all hear some pretty good bugling?
Oh yeah.
Like, the whole time?
Well, the first couple days it was a little slow, but, like, the last day we were there, they were hammering.
Yeah, they were bugling back and forth at each other. Morning mostly, and, like, sometimes right around dark, they'd bugle. But
yeah,
one morning they were pretty fired up.
You see any nice ones?
What's nice?
Like, well, it's hard to describe to you because you haven't seen a lot of elk, right? Like, 6 points are nice.
We saw a bunch of 6x6s.
Yeah.
But just nothing like that would blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But saw quite a few elk.
It's an elk that most of us would like to shoot.
Oh, yeah. I would love to shoot every single one of those I saw.
Every bull we saw was like, man.
Not me.
Like,
I can tell.
There's no way I'm not shooting that bull.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's gonna be there. Phil the engineer is gonna be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
Yeah. Michael is cool. Gone from misidentifying mule deer and elk.
That never happened. That never happened. That wasn't like, me. That was a
ready
different person.
To put in for every elk tag he can in a year. So
yeah, pretty much. That's
good. I'm gonna be. My goal is to shoot a sheep before I shoot an elk.
Is it?
Might happen.
Yeah.
Well, there's one way to make that happen.
You're on your way.
Well, even trying elk hunting, it doesn't mean I'm gonna be successful. You know.
Yeah. You're getting closer. You're trying harder.
I feel like I'm getting further, actually. I feel like getting further, man. Yeah.
Well, you saw an elk tag this year.
I did see one.
Yeah.
I just didn't see one that I owned.
The one showed you one. That's nice. So, the solution. When did y'all, first of all, when did the exuberance turn to dismay?
I'd say about...
The third morning, probably, we got up there and we were both like, this is dumb. We were just like,
it's like we felt like we had to do it because there was like at least 9 to 10 bucks I would shoot that were seen in this area, you know, the day before the season. And I was like, I felt like we got to give it a few days. And after about day two, I was probably like, man, this is dumb, but maybe it'll pay off. And I think one day we did 8 miles of hiking above 9,000 feet, and that was a...
And Greg gets it. Like, he's not a slow walker. He is getting it around the mountains.
You get tired following Greg.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling
That's
you.
That's why I'm glad he feels me most of the time. Me feeling him.
Nah, I ain't going to say this. No, I don't want to say that. Me and Greg one time walked 2.5 miles to a deer stand.
Yeah,
we did.
Couldn't get the four-wheeler start.
Still can't get the four wheeler to start.
If I got a different four wheeler, can't get it to start. I don't know what in the world's going on, but we walked 5 miles that morning.
I bet you were so
to get
happy.
In there right after daylight and bump deer.
I bet you were just so happy. Dude. You were just smiling. In the stand.
There's footage of me getting blown at by a deer when we walk into the stand.
I know what face you had.
Oh, sure. You do. It's your favorite.
That was fun.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
So. Y'all get up there on day three, and I know this feeling where you're like, oh, is that other guy thinking what I'm thinking about this right
now? Yeah, pretty much.
And finally, you're like, somebody expresses it, and the other guy's like, yeah, man, dadgummit. Yeah. So, did y'all just sit on top of the mountain and make plans?
I forget how many.
We came down off the mountain, and it was just like, I was sitting there charging batteries, just laying back. Greg was, like, taking his hat off and doing the, you know, the Greg just like. And I was like, oh, he is feeling this right now. Like, he wants the – and he was starting to get mad at the mule deer. I was like, oh, Greg is like.
That's how you know you're going to kill one.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to get mad at them things.
That's right, man. That's when does go to dying.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
dude. If I had a doe tag, I was gonna let it rip. Yeah. But we figured like something's got to change. Like this is not working. Like I don't care if there's some giant bucks up here. We're gonna go find some more stalkable habitat. You know where we can pick them up with binos and spotter and do some spot and stalk.
Drive and survive, baby.
Feels
it's
good.
My favorite.
Yeah, so we packed up camp. Didn't know where we were headed, and just started driving around.
What camp looked like? What were y'all staying in?
I had a tent. He had a tent.
Oh, y'all had your own private residence?
Were y'all staying in those brown ones?
Uh-uh. The what?
No, you stayed in the white one?
I had some Magellan. I don't know whose it is.
What color is it?
Blue.
I don't know whose it is either.
Well, gray and blue.
Which one do you have?
It's like a two-man?
It's one of your two. I think it's a three.
Oh. Did I give you – I gave you one
before. You
gave
me a North Face. It's got some weird stuff going on in there.
Does it?
It's got some stains. I don't like.
I've never stayed in that tent. I will say that. I can tell you who stayed in it, though.
Yeah, I think I know who it is.
Mm. So, then what'd you stay in, a brown?
I've got some kind of, like, Amazon backcountry tent.
Which we should talk about Greg's tent.
Yeah.
Right, talk about it.
One night, it started to pour down rain.
Oh,
like
pour
down rain.
Monsoon stuff.
That's a good time to be camping by the truck.
Oh, yeah.
And my tent just got flooded.
From the bottom?
Just like a river, just like
going
through
it. Greg said I had to put my phone on my air mat, and I just stayed on there because that was the only thing above water.
I just had to keep it above water. And
did your sleeping bag get wet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Feet were wet.
In fact, the first time maybe the only time I really got soaked, Nebraska was one time that was bad. But New Mexico, I think I was in college or just out. Dude, same thing happened. Monsoon and the river just started to sweep my daggum tent away.
Oh, my goodness.
And my sleeping bag just soaked up this water. And all night it got higher and higher and higher. Mm-hmm. And I just eventually was like a little fetal position just in my bag trying to keep my feet from getting cold.
I had all the camera stuff, my computer and everything. And I was just sitting there I hope whoever's tent this is doesn't have a hole in it. Because if so, we are in trouble. Yeah, I stayed completely dry.
You're welcome.
So whoever's tent it is, it's one of you two.
It's not mine. But I'll take it.
Real nice.
I mean, if it's waterproof, I'll take it.
It's waterproof for sure.
But yeah, I was soaking wet and had to start the truck and get the heater going the next morning trying to
remind you of Arizona the year before. Go to the laundromat and dry everything out.
Yeah. Luckily everything dries out pretty good up there. So
yeah, isn't it weird?
Yeah.
It'll come a soaker and then by the afternoon, it's...
Yeah, I just laid everything out before we went walking up the hill and everything dried out.
What was the night temp?
That night was 50.
Call those nymphs.
50 and soaking wet is pretty cold.
Yeah, okay, Mark Kenyon.
Definitely cold.
Can't keep y'all's minds off the trout.
Yeah, that's right.
But we packed up at camp, got out of there, drove, and didn't know where we're heading. We just start driving, trying to figure out a spot to hunt.
Mm. So you didn't have a pin to bounce to?
Nope.
Dang.
You had an idea, but it was we're not going to stay married to anything. We're just going to
It's move. Like this country down here, looks like we can spot and stalk in it. So we kind of headed that way. And we started driving around. And as soon as we get to this spot, an area on the map I thought to go to. We started getting out of the truck, looking in creek bottoms, and we started seeing deer tracks just everywhere we went. We're like, okay, there's deer here. And we checked a few water holes, and there's deer tracks. And I was like...
Also bear tracks.
Yeah, also
bear
tracks.
Huh?
Yep.
Quite a bit, or just right...
Just in one water hole. But
it's cool.
I was just checking the water holes to make sure that there were deer in these draws. Like I wasn't going to hunt the water holes, but, just making sure there's deer in the area. And we found a good place to camp and kind of glass from and stayed there. We saw one mule deer doe that night.
Just a tiny
at 200 yards, and you couldn't even see her.
I had to put binos up to I think I got some pretty good eyes, but I put binos. I was looking. I was like, Greg, I have no idea where this thing is. And I put binos up, and I'm like, oh, right there. Literally right in front of me.
Got the poison eyes. Poison
eyes. For sure.
I was thinking
for sure.
But, I was, looking in the direction of this doe and, put up binos. And, I was like, there's a deer there? What? And it was only at, 200 yards. So, it was still tough to see deer in this country. But we saw one tiny doe that evening and then – got up the next.
Yeah, we call those
toes. But we got up the next morning and started glassing, and we weren't seeing anything. Sun is coming up over the mountain, and we're looking, nothing. And so I was like, let's get in the truck and do a loop, see if we can spook something. I don't know. We're just trying to see a deer.
Mm. I know that desperation mode. Mm-hmm. It's just let me spook a deer so I know one's
here. Yeah, and so we hop in the truck and we drive 400 or 500 yards and we see a tiny mule deer doe again. It's probably a different one, but just does a little mule deer hop and just runs away. And we go drive around, don't see anything, get all the way back to camp. It's probably 8:15 at this point. And I'm I'm 15, 20 minutes from pulling camp and leaving.
Going home or to a different place?
Going to a different place.
Yeah.
Spirits were real.
We were thinking, maybe we got to backcountry this thing. We got to hike way back in somewhere and try to do this.
Michael was texting me at one point, maybe around this time.
It was the night before that.
Yeah, and he basically was saying some stuff that I was worried about for sure.
What, the oatmeal trail mix?
Y'all fixing to go off grid, and I was like, it ain't worth dying.
Yeah, you said it ain't worth dying.
There ain't no deer worth dying over.
And I was like, oh.
Because y'all didn't have any water, really, any dry goods or dry food.
I have a water filter.
Okay.
And, have you used it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've used it.
We gave it a test. Or he gave it a test.
And I've got some jet boils, and we're thinking about doing the backcountry and just, like, trying to get away from people. Because the big problem where the first spot was elk hunters. Elk hunters came in, and I think they were kind of bumping the deer around, too. And so that was kind of a problem. But in this new spot, I mean, we're 15, 20 minutes from leaving. I'm like, we hadn't seen a deer all morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking down the ridge. I'm, like, throwing rocks down into the ditch just to, like, try to spook something, just see if they're here. And I see Michael kind of rush over and run to grab the spotter. And I'm like, oh, what is he seeing? So I start running back kind of over towards camp. And he gets a spotter on this one spot and
broke it.
Sees a buck.
Yeah. I dropped it, rolled down the mountain. No spotter.
But what'd you see?
I ran over, got the spotter, and by the time I got back over, he had already dropped down into a little, like, dried up creek bottom. And I was like, crap. Like, what does this mean now? It's like, do we go after this thing? Because it might be a buck, but we have no idea. And I get my phone scope or whatever you want to call it.
What are they called? You bragged them. We don't make any money off those things, but what do you?
These Allens, they're like a magnetized phone case that you can put on a spotter and just, like, look. First off, if you're looking through a spotter for a long time, that is a good way to have a headache.
Yes.
That thing hurts.
Speaking
your
of sheep hunting, the first one I went on in August,
dude,
that year,
we
look like 12 hours a day through spotters.
Yeah, I have to hold a hand over an eye just so I can look through it for a long time.
Yep.
But these things, you just pop on the spotter and you can just watch it through your phone, and it makes it way easier.
It's just like snap, and it's where it needs to be.
Yeah,
there's no adjustments.
And you could just run solar into your phone, and so you could basically run that thing all day.
Yeah, well, there's some issues with that, but we don't need to talk.
Potentially
about
that.
Potentially. Your phone might blow up. But
yeah. Those are called Allin. How do you spell that? Is it two L's?
Yes. O-L-L-I-N.
Yeah, those are pretty cool, man.
Things are real nice. The only issue I found is, like, magnetized rocks will get down in there, but you just blow it out, and it works.
The other issue is that there's a couple. There's a couple options on those things. If you are using, like, the navigation feature on X,
sometimes it gets a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tyler's Allin is like a one-piece deal, and your phone overheats with it on, or it did one time, but mine did too.
It was 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah.
Most guys are probably not hunting when it's that hot.
Those right there, you can take the outside case on and leave the rubberized case on the phone, and it just makes a phone case.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's what mine does.
That's awesome.
Is it, and there are two pieces to that?
I think so. I don't know.
He's like, I don't know.
I don't know. I just put this in my new phone case. Like, I literally just, it's what I use now.
Yeah,
you can't
the problem
use
is,
0.5.
Yeah,
but
you use 0.5. And the flashlight gets kind of weird.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I take mine off after the hunt, but on the hunt, I just roll with it. And
yeah,
it's awesome. It's
super easy.
So
you got the spotter.
I got my phone
deer.
On the spotter, and, like, as soon as it, like, clicks on magnetize, I just see a big old frame come up out of the creek bottom.
Dang.
And it's like, I'm like, buck, good buck, good buck. And it's like a freak out. It's like, do we just run down there and go after this thing? And so we sit there, play it a little conservative, and we sit there and just watch, like, make sure he's going to be in this hole.
Yeah, he went behind this, like, embankment, like, where we could see the backside of this hill, and there's some cedars on the other side of the hill. And he went behind that, and from what we could tell, did not come out the other side.
I mean, we were burning. At this point, like, we are in desperation mode, and this buck is way bigger than we thought we were going to get on.
How many days do you feel like you have left at this point? You still feel like you got quite a few days left?
Still feeling good. I think we felt good to get off the mountain and
we could cover some ground.
Get to some lower elevation where we could
gotcha.
You know, cover ground. But Yeah, we were just burning a hole, just trying to make sure he doesn't come out. And when we saw him, it was like just the time that it was starting to get hot out. Yep. And so I figured he was going to bed down. And so we made a big loop after we thought he was in there, went around and came up on this this other hill that we could see down into there.
It's probably what, like 200 yards?
I think it was like 400. It was 400. Like 450, I think. And we pop over the hill, and like real quick, I see him. Like I see him bedded underneath the cedar tree. And
great guys were on. I'm talking big.
And so I see him to the binos, and I keep looking. I'm like, there's two of them. I see another buck in front of them. And I was like, man, the wind's right. I mean, I bet we can go down this creek bottom and, like, get a shot.
Before that happened, Greg said, I think the one you saw was the smaller one. And I was like,
freak out.
I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, here we go.
The one we had phone scope was pretty good one. And there were some bigger ones. But we started working the way down the creek bottom because I think the creek gets to within 60 yards of where this deer is. And
are you going to shoot if you get to 60?
I was trying to get inside 60 was like where I wanted to.
Greg was like, if it's at 80, I'm pleased.
If it's
it's kind of like the antelope hunt. You start out like, I want it within 60.
If it's 80 and I got the perfect range and I can, you know, I might.
Which I've seen Greg shoot at 80. He's pretty good out there.
Hey, I won the little competition outside at 70. It's true.
What weight shooting are your arrows?
I think a 525.
And you're shooting that fast bow.
Yeah,
right?
Performance at 70 pounds.
Yeah. So you can do it. Just got to get the range on the money.
Just got to get it.
Yeah.
Just got to get the range. But we start working down the creek bottom, and we get to like 200, two something. And Michael
before that, we're walking down the creek bank or creek bottom, and it's just like, acorns just popping like crazy.
Oh, it was
like crazy. It looked like the Midwest in this creek bottom. Like there were acorns everywhere.
So that's why they're in there.
It was for sure a thing. Like there were deer tracks and acorns all down the creek bottom, and I was like, this is where they're living, right here, and I think the elk are eating them too in there. But
bears probably too.
Everything.
Yeah. And so we found that. We thought, okay, this is something. And we get to like 200 yards, and Michael gets my attention, and there's a deer like standing up, two of them, in the wide open. They just stood up out of their bed and started feeding out. And the small one caught us and was like – staring us down in this creek bottom.
I thought it was over. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. I was like, crap, we got caught. Luckily it was a small one and he got kind of weird, but the other ones, the bigger ones, had no clue. They were still feeding around. And they fed across the draw and go to this other cedar tree, and there's another buck underneath that cedar tree. And it's a big 4x4. And they kind of bump him out of his bed, and then two of them feed back across the draw. We lose sight of them, and then we lose sight of the other one. And we have no clue what happened, and we just kind of lost track of the bucks. And so we just kind of got out of there and went back up to our Glass and Knob back at camp. And
after a gas station chicken sandwich.
Yeah, we had to go get a gas station chicken sandwich.
So good.
Yeah, you sent me that thing.
It was so good.
Dude.
Hey, you laughed at it.
Yeah.
Don't act.
It was laughable. That's exactly right.
It's laughable.
I can tell you what it tastes like now. Dude. I hadn't had one in years.
It tastes like. So you ever seen them squirrels chewing on them antlers that deer drop off their heads? That's what it tastes like.
This thing was tender.
You see this blind right here? That's what it tastes like. You take the chicken sandwich out of the package wrapping and eat the package wrapping. That's what it tastes like.
Ever been in a house where the sheetrockers just got done? Yellow and you got to sweep up all that stuff and clean up.
Yep.
Imagine just taking that and just dumping in your mouth.
Oh, I did. It's called dried strawberries.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Oh man, that's going to die out in New Mexico.
Yeah. But, all right, so you're back to camp.
Yeah, we get back to camp after going to get chicken sandwich and all that. But,
yeah, dude, for sure.
Get back to camp. It's about 4:30 or something like that, and Michael spots a buck. It's one of the bucks in the group.
From camp?
From camp.
Are y'all like driving a big old thing around to get to these things to stalk them or something?
Yeah. Like, we're probably 1,000 yards from them at camp, and then we drive around and we can get to about 450 from them on the other side. But he spots a buck down in the draw over from where we were stalking them. And small buck kind of disappears, and then like two big ones pop up and start feeding down the draw, and we got eyes on them, and one of them beds down on a cedar tree, and then the big one is just standing there
forever.
We're just waiting for him. We're waiting for him to bed, and we're gonna hop in the truck and drive around and come over the backside and try to stalk him. But he finally beds down, and I'm like, I figure we have about an hour to get over there. And we hop in the truck, get over there. We start stalking in. We get to about 88 yards from a tree that I know there's a buck bedded, and we're sneaking down this hill, and Michael gives my attention. There's bucks already just about 200 yards feeding out.
Well, I just saw, like, down in that little – there's, like a tiny little bowl, like 10 yards, like a tiny bowl, and I just saw, like – something in there just thrashing side to side, and I had no idea what was going on, but I was like, I'm guessing that's the bucks.
What was going on?
I don't really know.
I think they're just feeding on stuff, or just kind of like
they were being real weird.
Was there flies around? Were they shaking
their
heads?
A lot of them were swatting flies with their ears a lot, and so you catch that movement pretty easily. But yeah, we saw those bucks, and at this point, we only think there's about three bucks, but
is that more or less than the chicken sandwich was?
That is half.
Half the chicken.
That was a $6 chicken sandwich?
$6
chicken sandwich. Goodness. Inflation is amazing.
That ain't even high.
But they got a microwave for you.
I feel like that's a good price.
It was fancy. It was some fancy stuff. Fancy.
By that thing in Dallas, it's $15.99, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's more than that.
Guarantee you.
But
can't even kill chickens in New Mexico anymore.
That's right.
Or wait, that's Oregon.
That's Oregon, yeah. It's made it legal to kill animals.
Oh, man. But we see those bucks, and, like, just bucks keep coming out of everywhere.
It looked like a clown car. Like, just bucks kept coming out of it. I was like, what?
They kept, they kept going back in this, like, little hole and then, like, coming out. And then at this one time, like, five or six of them come walking out in a line. And I thought they were going to feed their way in the shade, like right down the draw to us. But
it was like as the thermal was starting to switch, they did that. And it was like, I mean, it just makes sense for them to come right down the edge of this hill right into our laps.
So we sat there for the next 2 hours, probably till dark, waiting for these bucks to work their way to us. But they never did. Gave us the slip.
Dadgummit. Slip, dude.
That's a shame.
Y'all got slipped.
It got slipped. But
slip knotted.
For sure.
We backed out of there, and we're like, we'll just find them in the morning, I guess. And the next morning, we pick them up again about the a little later than the morning before. The first morning we saw him at like 8:37. This morning we saw him at 8:44. And it's like just as the sun is starting to get hot, that's when you see them going to their bed. And we spot them, and they went back to the same spot they went the first time we saw them. And I forget, what did we do then? We
got in between where they were and where we think they readjusted to the first day. So we were just trying to – we thought as it like the sun got higher up into the sky, if we got to where they were yesterday, they're just going to come right down the lane right at us.
Trying to be between bed one and bed two.
Exactly. Yeah, it made sense, like the way the draws were, that the best shade was in this draw that we were going to go hunt and they were going to move to it. And the wind was not blowing hard at all. So, like, spot and stalk was like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of tried to hunt them like whitetails and, like, just try to catch them going from bed to food and bed to bed, really. But we got set up in there, and that evening we got set up, and you spotted a buck bedded.
Yeah.
At like 300.
Well, I first saw he was just up in a cedar, I think just eating the cedar berries or doing something. And I saw a butt, like with my eyes, I could see it. And I was like, surely that's not a buck. So we like kind of get set up. I get the tripod out and get all the camera stuff good. And like I put binos up on it and it's like, that's a buck. And as I like am realizing that, he just beds down facing away from us. And I mean, it is just me and Greg sitting there just like, well, I think we could do this. But then if we do that, then this is going to happen. And just like trying to figure out a way to go after this buck.
And like we didn't know where all the other bucks were bedded. So like, and he was like kind of way out by himself, but we just played it conservative again and just you know, see what they do. And we felt like we were in a good spot. And later that evening, we saw them. He got up and fed down into the creek bottom, and things started to get pretty exciting.
Greg, his bino harness was moving 3 feet off his chest. I mean, it was like.
I thought your nose didn't make noise in that mic.
Well, it came
out. He was faking that for sure earlier.
It came out of my right nostril that time. I felt it flare out a little bit. But Greg was, I mean, freaking out when he first saw him. He does a good job. He can calm himself down pretty good because there were a couple deep breaths there, and it was back to normal Greg.
He's back in the kill mode.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were pumped up when that started to happen.
We saw a buck drop into the creek bottom, and then probably 30 minutes later, I'm putting binos down the creek bottom just looking for deer. And all of a sudden, I see antler tips walking down the creek bottom. And this is like 175 yards.
Mm. Where, if he worked down the creek bank, how far of a shot was it going
to
be?
Oh, I had a spot at 52 I had marked that he was going to get to, and I was going to just shoot him. And they're working up the creek bottom and just taking their time forever.
They hit this one bend in the creek and just, like, stop. They just pop up on top and check it out and then drop right back down. And just both sides of it, they're just doing that. And we were, like – I was sitting there filming them, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, why are they just stalled out right in this spot? And sure enough, we were sitting there, and Greg goes, what was that? I think I heard something. And then, like, he's like, there's a buck up on top. So, like, the buck bounded out or something. I didn't even hear it. He's got some – he got some weird ears on him. But
weird.
Yeah, sometimes they can't hear. Sometimes they can.
I heard hooves spook on the rocks. You could kind of hear it. And, like, the wind was perfect before all this was –
they don't have those in Ohio. That's why he doesn't know what that sound is.
Rocks. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I know when I hear that rock sound, like, that's not good.
You're used to hearing that growing up.
Yeah. Yep. But when this all started, the wind was perfect. It was in her face, and they're coming up the draw, but just taking their time. And then the wind just completely stalled out, and I think the thermals got us.
Mm-hmm. Good old thermal stall.
But
Mark Kenyon, if you're listening. It's a real thing, man.
He ain't listening, dude. I'm telling you, he's on the river. He's on the river.
Somebody needs to let him know. He might kill some more deer.
He's going to run a podcast called On the River.
It's a good one.
So
I'm about to make that right now so you can't get it.
But I was a little bummed after that. We heard them spook, and they just kind of worked their way off. And we hiked all the way back up to camp, which is it was a pretty tough little.
It's a miserable hike back up.
It's just all uphill through like sand and stuff, and it's terrible. But we get back to camp, just like try to relocate them in the morning, and we're glassing all morning long and never see them. Like, and but luckily at about. It was probably 7:45, 7:30.
It was pretty early.
I see a deer like way off, like over a mile away. And I tried to get a spotter on it. I couldn't get on in time and lost it. And then about 8:30, we pick it up again. And I get the spotter on it, and it's a buck, and it's a group of bucks. And I get the spotter on them, and they go behind this hill. And I don't know if it's two or three bucks. I couldn't tell. I just knew there was at least $2 in there, and they're all legal. And we see them go behind this hill, and I started looking out on the map. I'm like, they're probably going to bed on the other side of that hill because there's, like, cedars on it. The wind is right. And I kept, you know, burning a hole in the other side of that hill and never saw them come out. So we gave them to about 9:15, and we're like, let's go make a move on them. And I told Michael, I was like, I feel good about this
one. Said it like three or four times.
I said, I feel good about this one.
That's a lot of talking for Greg.
And so we head over there. There's another hill that's probably 200 yards from where I think these bucks might bed. And we get up to that hill and we peek over the edge of it. And like immediately after I peek over the edge, I see a buck bedded under a cedar tree. And it's the smaller one. And I keep looking. I know there's another buck in there. And finally, the smaller one gets up. He's like swatting flies around. And I knew he was going to give up the other buck. And so he got up and like circled around and kind of nudged the big buck. And I saw his antlers move up in the cedar. I was like, okay. And I marked that spot on the map. And the small buck like fed off to the right. And, like, I lost sight of him. I didn't know where he went. But I saw that the big buck was bedded under this tree. And I was like, okay, we need to go now because that buck's kind of out of the picture.
Yeah, before this morning, like, the night before, we were like, if we see a buck tomorrow, like, we're going at him. Like, it's time to just get aggressive.
Yeah, we were
going to
start getting aggressive. And the fact that we found a different group of bucks, mm-hmm. I was like, might as well. Like, let's go get aggressive on these. But saw the smaller buck moved out, and it seemed like – and the bigger buck was facing away down the hill. I was like, man, if we come around the hill and come over the side, it's going to be like – it's going to be perfect. And so we take off. I chug a bunch of water because never know how long you're going to be out there.
And the last black rifle.
Yeah, last black
the
rifle.
The last one.
Dang,
the last yeah. one in my 212 packs. I drank the last black rifle I had on the drive over to go get this buck. But we made a big loop and came up over the hill that they were on. And it starts getting spooky. You start looking at the map and you're like, you know, measuring to the tree. And you're like, we're like 100 yards. I'm like, I can't believe it.
I don't see any of this. Like, Greg is just like sitting there and he'll like, range up into the trees, and I'm like, oh, he's ranging tops of trees right now. Like, this thing's we're about to be on top of this deer. Like, I'm freaking out.
And like, and like, the wind is not blowing like hardly at all. Uh-huh. And so, like, every step is just the loudest thing you've ever heard.
Yeah, it's yeah. just not rocks good. Out there.
And I'm ranging, and like, I get at one point it says 54 yards from the tree that I was like, thought this buck was bedded. And you're always, like, kind of questioning yourself, like, whether – is that the right tree? Did I write, mark mm-hmm. the right tree on the map or not?
The whole week, Greg had also been saying, like, if we go after a buck in a hole, like, we just like, need to expect that he is going to be in that hole.
You just got to believe –
all I was thinking about the entire stock.
You got to believe he's there.
He's going to be in the hole.
You just got to believe he's there. Mm-hmm. You can't get lax and mm-hmm. think he's not there and mess it up. But – we start stalking, and And the most obvious path to like stalk to him was like this trail, but it was like rocks and it was like real crunchy grass. And I was like, ah, we can't go there. And luckily there was like this soft dirt stuff that was like kind of sandy, and we stayed on that stuff, and we were able to get really close at that point. And start stalking up, and I get his attention. I catch a tail flicker out of the corner of my eye, and I see a buck bedded at like 24 yards.
He turns around, and it's just like, I mean, his eyes were the size of his head, I swear.
But I saw a buck bedded at 24 yards. Did not expect him to be there, because I still can't see the bottom of the tree of where I think the buck is bedded. And so, you know, at this point, we've been camping for 8 days. Like,
Dude, we stunk so bad.
Ready to shoot a buck. I'm ready to shoot a buck.
You know it's bad when Michael's acknowledging it.
Dude, every night when I got in the tent, actually the last night we stayed in the tent, I had to vent it. It was so bad. Like, I had to have the window
open. Open the window?
It was so bad. Open the window. Translate for the Northerners.
But, so, yeah, I was
like, Northerners? Ain't no Northerner made it this far in this podcast.
There's a couple. Hey. I look at the analytics. Okay. I see you out there, Mr. Northerner. I know you're there.
The one and only.
Actually, that might just be
That's me. Mark Kenyon.
That's just me and Eric, actually.
Yeah, it's actually your home address. Yeah. Showing up.
But, yeah, so I'm ready to kill a buck at this point. So, any legal buck, I'm taking.
And that's a pretty nice thing whenever you get to that point.
Yeah,
you're like, might get to shoot something.
Yeah, you're ready to shoot.
Me, dude, I was happy about it.
Yep.
And so I see this buck out of the corner of my eye, and it's the smaller of the two. And I'm definitely going to shoot this buck if I get a chance. And he's bedded there, and I can tell he's irritated because he keeps, like, swatting flies with his ears. And he's just kind of – I was like – I knew he was going to stand up.
Irritated, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's how he knew. Because he was swatting flies with his ears.
He was irritated.
Is it tail-itated when the tail's flickering?
Yeah. Oh, dang. But I saw him. I could tell he was about to stand up. And I thought about drawing and, like, sneaking around the side of the cedar and try to shoot him, but I figured he was going to stand up.
Take in mind, I can't see any of this that's happening. So I'm, like, sitting back there just trying to get every inch possible and not blow this entire thing up, because we've been there for 8 days and Greg would strangle me if this thing skipped out of there. So I'm just, like bouncing on one leg for, like, 20 seconds just trying to get every single inch I can get and get any footage. And –
But
go for it.
I'm watching him, and I see him, like, move to start to stand up, and I go, here we go. And Michael gets ready, gets the camera on him. He stands up and walks out. I ranged his one-seater at 24 yards that was kind of even with him, and he was starting to walk behind that. And I guessed him at, like, 26 or 27, and I just put my 30 low and just made the best shot I've ever shot on a deer.
Let's go.
Dude turned around and was just like, boom.
Dude, right away.
So
dude.
Pumped.
The video is good, man. I can't wait for y'all to see it. It's pretty cool.
Dude, the sound when that
so nice.
When that arrow hit the chest cavity, it was just like, I hadn't heard that in a while. So.
Mm-hmm. With the pronghorn hunting, it was kind of just a lot of thump.
Yeah.
Then nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So –
man.
Made the shot. He ran out about 50 yards. I told Michael he's going to tip over right there, and he just tips over.
Sure enough.
And what's crazy is there was a big buck with him. This buck was probably 120, probably 120-inch deer. And I would have lost my mind if I shot that.
Yeah.
But looking back, I probably could have seen him from where I was. He was just up underneath the cedar tree. I was only probably 40 yards from him,
mm-hmm.
and but I couldn't pass up the perfect shot.
Yeah, 24 yards is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's nice when they're in tight like that.
Like spot and stalk like that, it was cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, congrats on the first cervid of the fall season.
First mule deer, first out-of-state deer, first velvet deer.
Dang, all the things.
Head.
New Mexico was feeling like a curse for the element there for a while, but
Yeah.
What's Billy Bob Thornton say? I ain't no curses, right? Isn't that what he says?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
I don't know when he said that.
You don't know who Billy Bob Thornton is?
When's the guy from Bad News Bears, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. There he goes, though.
The guy from Sling Blade that married Angelina Jolie.
I never seen Sling Blade.
Was the coach in Friday Night Lights?
He wasn't the coach in Friday Night Lights, was
he? He was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I don't know if I ever really watched
They had that three-way tie, and they had to flip to see who was going to go to the playoffs. And, huh? He was the bad Santa. Yeah, he's a lot of things. But anyways, yeah. Golly. Ain't no such thing as curses, man.
That's true.
Way to go, guys.
Yep.
I'm glad you made it home. And now you get to go see him in New Mexico again.
Yep, yes, going back. Sir.
Man, tell you what. Why are you more tan than Michael?
Because I'm from the north. What does that
yeah,
mean?
But still,
actually,
y'all are in the sun.
Greg had short sleeve shirts on. I was not about to mess with no sunburn. I had the long sleeve Trace on the entire time. Don't let people fool you. You don't need UV protection.
Dude.
But.
Did you get burnt underneath it?
Uh-uh.
What are people talking about?
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, you got to be pasty.
Dude,
I am pasty, and I did not get burnt.
Yeah.
So.
It's because you didn't get any sea doles and you are out there.
That's right.
You're on the mountain.
A chicken sandwich.
How many meals?
Chicken sandwich is made out of dust.
Did you all get turkey sandwiches? 80% of your meals, did you eat turkey sandwiches?
It was at least 60.
Oh, it was. We had two dinners of backstrap and potatoes.
That's nice.
Turkey sandwiches.
That's good fuel.
What deer was that?
It was just some deer I shot.
Just random deer.
Yeah, I just had.
Pretty much.
I think it was. I had one from 2020. It didn't taste that great.
Yeah.
But the 2021 buck tasted good.
Real good. It's good.
That was right after the 8 mile day, too. So we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good food. That was good fuel on the mountain.
It looked like y'all ate 2 pounds of potatoes each every time you cooked potatoes.
Well, I'd cook them, and, you know, you could get two meals of potatoes.
I see, yeah. Get a little extra tater in there.
Mm. Yeah.
It's nice.
Greg's fixing to have a good season, dude.
He is.
Yeah,
he
is. I've been looking at his truck camera.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good stuff on it.
It's a pretty good deer down there. Yeah. But as soon as we get back from South Dakota, he's going to be like, hey, can y'all mind if I take a day and go to Austin and kill a deer?
Yeah.
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 But,
Casey ain't gonna let you.
All right, big takeaways.
Yeah,
big takeaways. I would definitely like to go back and hunt deer again.
Yeah,
I think we figured a lot of stuff out.
Yeah,
and man, if I spent a week in the spot we ended up in, I think I could kill a big one in there.
Nice, Michael.
I say this pretty much every time I'm on this podcast, but eliminate ground. Don't choose ground, eliminate ground. Because if we would have just tried to make every single place work, we would have never found where we ended up. So just keep moving until you find where for sure they – like we got to this place and there was so much sign we couldn't deny it. Like it was like they are in here. We just got to find them.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good point, man.
And also if you're out west, I think me and Greg, we're used to whitetails. So we kind of – don't use our binos as much. Like, just keep your eyes in the bino as long as you can. It might suck. It might hurt, but just keep glassing.
Mm.
Keep glassing.
I don't like that one as much.
Hey, I'm telling you, dude.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. You just – I already have a headache right now. I can't
isn't
imagine.
It's Cam Haines saying, though, isn't it?
Yeah, keep glassing.
Yeah.
Keep glassing, yeah.
You can't steal that.
Too bad. Sorry, Cam.
Keep looking.
Yeah.
Keep looking.
Continue glassing.
I thought it was like keep shoveling or something.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Struggling.
Yeah.
Keep sawing, I think. Anyways, good hunt, guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do it again. It's going to be on the Element channel sometime soon. Maybe sooner rather than later. It depends on how much editing time we get done this week. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some windshield time and be able to do some stuff. Maybe get on all kinds of antler critters out in New Mexico again. So I'm excited to all join forces and kind of have a repeat of Arizona like we did last year, except less monsoons and more antlers on the animals. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, congrats. Remember, guys, keep glassing, and remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
'Everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, head it back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4th, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5th, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at TheMeatEater.com. Hope to see you at the show.